What's Up Headlines.
Celtics beat the Suns in Phoenix last night, 102-94. Marcus Morris there, been playing very, very well.
Just, you know, fitting in the offense, you know, moving around, you know, figuring out mismatches, you know. I've been at the three and the four, so it's almost like, you know, I got a mismatch on either side, and just letting the game come to me, not forcing it. And just really trying to stay efficient, you know, not trying to take bad shots, not trying to, you know, hold the ball too much. Just staying efficient and you know, taking what the D give me.
There you go. We'll see what they give them when the road trip wraps up tomorrow night. The Sox. The Celtics have a chance to go undefeated on this road trip tomorrow night when they play the Jazz in Salt Lake City. Yes, the Red Sox will in fact begin their regular season on Thursday. One more exhibition taking place today. Rafael Devers not in the lineup, but he says he's fine. He's just getting the day off and should be ready to go for the opener on Thursday. Meanwhile, the Bruins are in Winnipeg. They take on the Jets tonight. A Jets team that has won five in a row. Jets' Rod Bob Beers bring us the latest at 7:30. That's the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, or in this case, the Injury Law Center. If you're injured, you need a team of trial attorneys who are dedicated to injury cases. Set up a free consultation at injury-law-center.com.
I got to use one last segment. I hurt my finger.
Were you hurt at work?
Yes.
Wait, are you talking about a physical injury?
Yes.
Or your feelings were hurt?
No, physical. You heard it. We got the audio.
I was very hurt.
Thank you, Beetle. Hardy, Sports Hub, headlines again, 30 minutes.
98.5, The Sports Hub gets you up.
Hello, Mr. Danny.
Good morning.
I'm not telling you anything you didn't know.
Gets you home.
They don't have a dominating personality.
Not the The team thinks he's going to be stuck.
Toucher and Rich. Felger and Mad. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Year 84, 85, that wheelhouse. This came out when I was in high school.
Yeah, this is...
it's got to be 84, 85.
85.
Yeah. I Rock. Remember all the songs from I Rock. All cassettes up.
Sounds a lot like Prince 1999,
sure
doesn't
does.
It?
Fourth and final hour. Solak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. On this Tuesday, our thanks to Dan Shaughnessy for being with us.
Yep.
As always, on this Tuesday. Phone line's open for you, 617-779-0985. And why don't we start the hour off with a call? David in Needham has been hanging on. David, thanks for holding.
You know, throughout my time, my big question, I had a good sport, but whether I like Zoe and the Beetle or back to Zolak and Bertrand, I that's my toughest decision, which one I like better. I don't know whether you guys have an opinion on that, but I like
I don't really
Zoe
care.
And the Beetle
and Zoe.
Calls them first.
Beetle and Zoe.
Yeah, but, hey, you know, my question was about the Patriots and the effect of Belichick's his thing with Malcolm Butler, in that there hasn't been a declared reason. Will that play, will that play throughout the NFL? That, I mean, it's not that he's having a, you know, a Rain Man moment. You know, I get my underwear at Kmart, but I mean, he just, there's no real reason for it, you know. And will players say, "Wow, you know, biggest game of my life," and he holds them out of it, and there's really no real good explanation? Does that play throughout the league? I mean, how
I don't know. I mean, player wasn't there first 2 days of work week on a Super Bowl. Didn't go down with the team.
Okay.
Was he in the hospital or not? Did they confirm that? Was he in the hospital?
You know, I, as a fan, haven't really heard the definitive reason for it, you know, and it kind of, I don't know how that plays through.
Ultimately,
you mean with what? You mean with other players? You mean with players across the league? You're not talking about
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? It's the biggest game of his life, and he gets held out, and it's not, you know, drug use or missing prey. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm still in the dark, and I would love not to be in the dark. I'm wondering how players.
There's a lot of people think that that game, meaning the Super Bowl, has made him, and it broke him. The Super Bowl made Malcolm. He made one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history. Not even Patriots history, but Super Bowl history. And what do you remember him for? Do you remember him for the pick against Seattle? Or do you remember him for the more current, I did not, DNP against Philly in a Super Bowl that was 52? I don't know. I think it's fresh. We remember for that, but I don't forget Seattle. And it didn't break him. This game didn't break him. The guy's still in a down year. It wasn't a bad year. It was a down year for him. When you play through pain and you play that many games and you start it and you're out there for 98% of snaps, you're doing something right. He didn't have a great year, but he still got paid. He got paid $62 million with $32 guaranteed. It didn't break him. Breaking him is, wow, damaged goods. We don't want him. We'll offer him $4 million a year. No. And a team with institutional knowledge on you, the head coach that made that decision, with John Robinson being the GM and Mike Vrabel, who I can't tell enough stories about the respect Brady and Belichick have for Vrabel. Say, we'll take him, and we'll pay him, because we like him. We like his motor. They know what the deal is. I'm not saying they know why Bill benched him, but really, I mean, there's only one head coach that's got the balls to do what he did. That's the guy, same guy, went for it on third and two. Or excuse me, fourth and two against the Colts years ago. It's like one of those decisions. But the magnitude is a game decision. But yet, Wes Welker did enough to piss him off to only bench him for a quarter. I mean, I don't know. That's the frustrating part of this. And I still, even with the audio from Mr. Kraft saying, hey, I have full confidence in making the right decision as long as it's the right one to not hurt the team. And I'm good with it. But we still don't know what the reason is. I think people still want to ultimately know.
Do you think he knows what the reason is?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Absolutely.
You think he's covering up for what that reason is?
Absolutely.
Of course he is. Do you think that's part of the, you know, make sure everyone gets along, play nice thing that's going on here the last couple of days?
I think it's part of it. I think he had to tell him it. Come on. Like the whole stage thing, the Davio's dinner, all that. I think he knew with 10 minutes after that game. You show up in a locker room, like, what? Why didn't we play Malcolm? You go in that coaching room with him where it's only him and him. And he said, what are we doing here? What happened? Tell me what happened. I signed the checks. Remember? We were interviewing Josh McDaniels. He came over and said, hey, don't forget, bottom right corner, baby. Right? Did you hear him get tripped up yesterday with Tom Curran? Sort of had that slip and said that, you know, Bill Belichick's owned the team for 18. Whoa! Who's owned the team? He was talking to Kraft. And Curran slipped and said Belichick has owned the team for, you know, over 18, 19. Excuse me? Who's owned the team? He somebody signs the bottom right corner, and it's that guy. He pays Bill Belichick the highest annual average per year of a head coach in this league because it goes up. The second somebody makes money like John Gruden, Bill's money goes up.
Okay,
we don't know the money, but Robert pays that guy the money. He deserves.
Bill has espoused over the time that he's owned the team. We want to have one.
Bill is on the team.
I apologize.
No, I didn't know if you knew something I didn't know. No. My
I mean,
bankers
you're
are trying.
Paying him well, but I'm sure it's not that well. You can't buy the thing, but since
I love that Bill on the team.
Bill is on the team.
He was on the team. Thumbs. This guy. Double. Bear.
And not only that, I'm sitting here covering for that guy, the coach, because, well. Listen, things haven't been great lately, and in the interest of everyone getting along again and doing what we do best, which is win football games, we're all going to play nice. Yeah. And I feel like I owe it to him a little bit because I told him Tom Brady's not going anywhere. Do you think that might be a play?
And I think it's also
this,
too.
Do you think that might be factoring into this just a little bit?
I'll accept your decision not to play him. I'm telling you what's going to go happen moving forward here. You're going to play ball a little bit. You can dress up. You're going to go scout. You're going to get back to doing what we do.
No, I don't think you think that.
No,
you went that
far? I don't think it goes that far. But this is what people talk about. Like, what's the back and forth?
He doesn't owe him anything for that. I mean, he might be, okay, this is your makeup.
I think Bill does the same thing.
I'll cover you on this.
I think Bill does the same thing with him that he does with me that we've even seen in the documentary, the Football Life stuff. I think he comes in eating nachos.
What's up? What do we want to talk about? All right, let's get through this meeting. You know, same thing he does with me. Pre-game interview.
Comes in eating, pencil behind the ear, just got the treadmill. Sorry, I'm late. Caught up, watched some more film.
He treats Kraft like he treats you?
I think he treats everybody the same. I really do. Like Josh, we didn't talk about him leaving. I'm like, the guy's leaving. He's leaving for good. You're so ingrained in a game plan. Not 1 minute out of that 56-hour preparation. You ready to go? You excited for Indy? Good. Good for you. That should be fun, this last hoorah together, you know? Like, none of these discussions happen. Even when Charlie committed to go to Notre Dame, he's still winning Super Bowls, the hug of the big three, and Romeo's going to Cleveland, all this stuff. It's a head-scratcher to me. I mean, when you spend as much, we as a show spend a lot of time together. We do. We talk about everything, during the breaks and that. What are we? Okay, you know what? Let's get ready for the next segment. Let's palm down another 10 minutes. You know, get in there. No. You need to be somewhat human. I just can't be. I can't believe they'd be that robotic in preparation. That not once would you say anything about Indy. And that 2 weeks prior, well, it's the last 2 weeks I'm going to work with Josh. You know what? Let's just work on the game plan and not talk about anything. That's odd to me. I'm sorry. I mean, football's life.
The amount you of time live, that they must spend together.
When you're in it as much as these guys are, even when as a player, this is part of the thing that Brady's having to back and forth with. Answering convictions. You need to know what you're doing this for because it is a time commitment. And right. That is your family.
Like there wasn't some night in there getting ready for one of those playoff games or the Super Bowl where they're burning the midnight oil and eating
having
Chinese
dinner.
Food
they do
in
eat.
Bill's office.
They do eat.
They didn't have a right. moment to say, hey, Josh, step
Coach
in here for
meeting.
A second. Let's
right.
chat.
Yeah,
it is a little weird.
Yeah,
but I just think at the end, and maybe they did talk about it. And in those conversations, Bill, it was made obvious to Bill that Josh wasn't fully committed to the Colts.
Maybe that's another part of it.
And he knew that. Which is good. I don't think he's really leaving. I'll talk to him at the end of the year.
We'll get through this game. I'll talk to Robert. We could probably keep this guy. That's possible.
Is it more money you want, Josh? Well, you know what? I can't give you that right now. I got to figure it out after the season ends. But we'll talk. All right. Don't sign anything out there. We'll talk at the end of the year. Maybe that happened. 617-779-0985. Bill Belichick spoke yesterday. Robert Kraft spoke yesterday. A lot to get to. And Josh McDaniels had some quotes in the Boston Globe about not leaving the Patriots. Why he didn't leave. We'll tell you next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josh McDaniels talks a lot about clarity and the crystallization of things. And his story with Jim McBride, Boston Globe today, says he changed his mind when Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft clarified his role. I don't understand how his role right now is not clear to him.
Head coach, I'm waiting.
Right, it has to be. There's the only thing it might be related to is him becoming head coach. Have we all resigned ourselves to the fact that that's going to happen when Bill's gone?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I asked this question earlier. I ask it again. If they told Josh McDaniels it's 4 or 5 years for Bill Belichick, is he eager to stay?
No.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is either. Especially with not having Jimmy. Just say Tom's gone in a year. You know, now I can unroll my project. Take the shiny new car out. That's why I think he is hidden for a reason. I think he's searching for the next Garoppolo. And you don't have to do that by working people out. I think you're absorbing information. I think he watches as much film as anybody. That's where you see it. Turn on tape. We get so enamored with workouts and, oh my God, Johnny Manziel's throwing a Texas A&M day today. You know, 32 scouts are there. Great. That's great. Guys don't play football in a year. Do I want to watch this now or do I want to watch Johnny's tape against Alabama? See how he moves in the pocket. What kind of offense will we have to implement? That's the stuff he should be doing. You know, zeroing in on, you know, man, let's do homework on a realistic group of guys we think we could target in the second round. That's where you got Garoppolo. I think it's mid-second round. I think they're going to pick a guy in the mid-second round that's going to be a quarterback. I do. I think Josh is concentrating on that. That's his job. What's he got to worry about? Brady, Edelman, Gronkowski, Cooks? Skarnecchia's got to worry about the line. Skarnecchia's problem is backside tackle. You get four or five starters back. And I know you say two of your starters at to tackle position from the Super Bowl are gone. Yeah, but ideally you want Cannon as one. Okay? So Cannon should be one. So really, you got four or five back on the line. You're pretty solid on offense. So Josh, go find the next guy, because that's going to be your guy.
We're picking apart what Josh McDaniel said in this story. He said, I wasn't 100% sure what the future was. I just hadn't had any clarity on that. So where did I fit in?
What do you think future means?
Were there any plans? I didn't have much clarity on what plans, my role was here future, moving forward.
Clarity.
I mean, Jesus. This is the only question is, am I the next head coach or not?
Josh, we want you to do an interview, but we want you to come up with as many words as you can without saying you are the next head coach in waiting.
That's what this is.
Come on. What plan? You're the OC of the NEP. There's only one spot higher than that, and that's head coach. And AGM, you're not going to pick GM players.
As we pointed out earlier, thanks to our friend Phil Perry, who texted, if you put in place a succession plan in the NFL, you can circumvent the Rooney Rule.
Mm.
The Patriots are obviously not doing that because I just don't think they want to get into this conversation. Because if you publicly say Josh McDaniels is our next head coach, when Bill's done, he's going to be the head coach. You say, well, when's Bill done? Yeah. And Bill's going to get asked 1,000 times,
right,
when are you done?
Right.
This is their way of telling you he's the next head coach without them telling you he's the next head coach, if that makes sense. He's the guy. I think this story and his quotes today should confirm it. If you didn't think him staying was confirmation enough, what he's saying today should absolutely confirm it for you. Your next head coach of the Patriots is Josh McDaniels, unless something goes really wrong between now and then. So that's what we got. That's what we got on that front. By the way, a lot of things happening as the league meetings continue, though.
Today's crazy.
There are a lot of things going on there that we've been kind of keeping an eye on, following on Twitter.
It's crazy. Go ahead. Real quick, Seahawks had a quarterback, I never even heard of him, accused of domestic violence. They just cut him.
They cut that guy.
Yep, gone.
Trevon Boykin, former TCU guy.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have heard of him. Yeah, I remember Boykin.
Was he any good?
He was okay.
He's like a small, like, running quarterback.
Little scat quarterback.
What's his last name?
Boykin. A lot of Boykin he was doing.
No, and Boykin.
Boykin.
That's why I asked Zoe to say it again. All right. So there's that. However, there's also rumors and reports on the Odell Beckham Jr. front that several teams have reached out to the Giants. How about Odell Beckham Jr.?
I mean, my God, it'd be great for us from a talk show standpoint. It'd be constant drama with this kid watching him going to camp. Wouldn't it be more exciting going to camp with him?
Did someone have that first, Jim?
Ian Rappaport says several teams, yeah.
Okay.
I think as many as 8, I think he said.
Giants are quietly letting it be known that they're shopping him without shopping him.
Yeah, here it is. He had the tweet 14 minutes ago. The Giants are listening to trade calls and talks for Odell Beckham Jr. There have been several, I'm told.
I must have seen 8 somewhere else then, yeah.
Yeah. Steve Weiss says the Rams' number 23 pick is available. But what's not clear is whether New York actually wants to trade him.
Wow.
Definitely open to listening, though.
23 is a nice pick. That's a good pick.
If I were them.
Dave Gettleman, the GM from the Giants, talked to the media and said next question when asked about Odell Beckham.
Mara's early openly stated, I'm tired of the questions with the kid.
Do you think that Mara and the GM, you think Gettleman, they might have a disagreement already early in that tenure?
Yeah, I think they might. Plus, you got a brand new head coach. You were sitting here earlier. I pointed to the TV. Did you know that's Pat Shurmur?
No, I didn't know that was Pat Shurmur, but I know now.
Yeah, that's the guy that's got to get OBJ in line.
I mean, if you've got a new coach and you're going to strip that thing down. But here's the thing. It's weird with the Giants because they just spent a ton of money on Nate Solder.
Right.
So they obviously don't want to suck for long.
They don't want to suck for long, but it's also you get a good guy and he's kind of a cornerstone guy. But they also said, Gettleman, he said, Ernie, of course, he taught me a long time ago. It's one thing that still sticks in the back of my mind. Don't give up on talent. The kid is extremely talented. I will not refute that. That kid is talented. I've never seen a guy turn Malcolm Butler and Devin McCourty around like this kid did. Breaking ankles. On post routes. It is pretty. It's a sight to see. So how do you not make that work?
You know, it's frustrating. It's got to be frustrating for them because the potential is it's just the sky's the limit with this kid.
Tom Pelissero has this. Sources. After a deep discussion over the past 2 days about taking the head hits out of the game, the NFL Competition Committee is currently formulating language on a targeting rule that could go to a vote as soon as today.
Love it. I like it. We talked about this as the season went on, and these certain kind of shots were out there, and you know, disagreed upon certain on certain ones. But why can't it be more like the college game? You know, targeting. If it's targeting, boom, it's 15. You're injected. Can you review it? Can you go to it and say, "Boy, this kid targeted. He launched. He ducked ahead. He left his feet. It's helmet to helmet. You're gone. You're gone. Your money's gone. Spend it. Boom. Do something. You want to take headshots out?" Suspend guys, get them out of the game, fine them, take their money. 15-yard penalties are going to do nothing about headshots. Zero. Because you're going to have intimidators in this game. It's an intimidating sport. But you start playing it the way the college game does it, that's going to be different. I like this.
All targeting is not the same, though. In college, it gets a little too much. They eject too many players.
They do.
Because they have to include the guys that are... Like, if a guy hits him, but it's not really a hard hit, but it's technically to the head, he gets ejected. He's gone for the game.
Yeah, I saw that Oklahoma kid got ejected. It was awful. Should have never happened.
Tell you what, though, it's worked. I think it's cleaned up the helmet-to-helmet hits in college. They still happen, but I think you've eliminated hits that guys would be making that they now don't. It's extreme, that's for sure. It's definitely an extreme measure. By the way, one league rule has passed. That is the catch rule. It's now in.
Catch rule
was voted on today. It was a unanimous 32-0 win on the new catch rule.
You know, we mentioned that 23rd pick of the Rams, and it sits there, and it looks like a pretty pick. That's a nice spot to be in the first round if you're going to trade for OBJ. We haven't touched on what the Rams have done defensively.
Let's talk about it.
Good.
They got Ndamukong Suh yesterday. We'll get to that right after this.
The Bears.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics with a win last night, this time over the Suns in Phoenix. Oh, I wonder where that went off to. All right, over the Suns in Phoenix last night, they will try and wrap up an undefeated road trip tomorrow night when they pay a visit to the Utah Jazz. As for the Bruins, they play in Winnipeg tonight. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers are going to have the call, as always, starting at 7:30 with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bees will be facing a Winnipeg team that has won five straight. And here's something from the NFL for you, Beadle. As a lover of all things pop music, you'll be interested to know that 10 different NFL teams' ability to play home games in the first 10 weeks will be affected by whom, would you guess? Out on a stadium tour this fall. All over the country, Ed Sheeran. There's a comprehensive list of the different weeks and games that won't be able to be played, first of all, like the Lions in week one. Can't play a home game. Ed Sheeran, you're going to need the stadium, like for a whole week. Don't even think about playing there. Can't do it. Oh, and then the Patriots in week two. Thank you for pointing that out, Jim. You see where my priorities are. Headlines are brought to you by Cool Sculpting Freeze Away Your Fat for Good with Dr. Joseph Russo's team. Call 617-964-1440 or josepharussomd.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You heard Hardy's Hub headlines a moment ago. Ed Sheeran is disrupting football schedules for the first 10 weeks of the NFL season.
This sells out Gillette.
Yeah.
So this brought down the house at the father-daughter dance.
That's a faction of 37 people in work, Jim. Okay?
Yep, that's Ed Sheeran's base.
Right. I've been to like two Ed Sheeran events. He stands there and doesn't move from the microphone. There's no entertainment value whatsoever. Your daughter will be bored. Captain Red here. The Ginger Hammer. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get the Ed Sheeran buzz.
Could you sell out Gillette Stadium?
Could I? Hell no.
But I'd tell you that. I don't get it. I don't get the draw. Now you go see Bieber. You're going to get entertained.
You know? I'm still laughing about that. That's 37 people more.
Yeah, that's something. Like, oh, not that in the house.
I think it speaks to a larger sample. Sure, that's happening at the father-daughter dances across America right now.
Like the NFL owners' meetings, they all said, you know what? Those 37 people at Warwick, we got to book this guy at our stadium. So
yeah, sure. Let's sell it out. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Jay-Z and Beyonce are torn. I could understand them selling out. Understand that.
Taylor Swift's affecting some teams, too, apparently.
Yeah. She's coming. I will be at that one. It's a good show. Every year, every time she comes, she puts on a hell of a show. You'll be happy going away. Same point. I'm glad I paid that. Redheaded kid holding the guitar? Not so much. No offense to the Reds. You know.
No offense to Axl Rose, but he don't play an instrument, so that's okay.
That dude can put on a show, though. Okay. Okay. Even when he's fat and old and still sounds the same. It's pretty good.
Gives you hope.
Gives you hope. Yep. You can still do to the fat old guy. Right.
Let's talk about the Rams, though. They've been very active here the last few weeks.
Yeah, you got two of the best three technique guys on the same team now. Ndamukong Suh.
Don't hear too many three technique references in the 10 to 2 anymore, but hey, there it is.
I don't get too technical. 2 to 2 o'clock show, they make fun of you. Three technique. What is a three technique? You play over the a little bit flexed over between the guard and the tackle. So you're more of a defensive tackle than you are like a nose. One technique, you're right over top the center over one of his shoulders. Two technique, you're right over the head, right over top of the guard. It's a little three technique talk here. Two gap player, both outstanding young two gap players. He said, wow, that's a crazy problem. No, it's a good problem to have.
Serious question, though. I'm not being a dick.
Sure.
What percentage of NFL fans care about that?
Depends on the type of defense you want.
No, I'm saying about knowing what you just said, which is all, you know, very valuable information.
It means you're gap shooter players. You know what that means? That means if you're a fan of going to kill the quarterback, these are the type of guys you want. You want a double gap player that's going to shoot the gap upfield. That's what Sue is.
Home wreckers, baby. Home wrecker.
To put it in.
They got two home wreckers.
Let me dumb it down. Dumb it down in sports radio terms.
Okay.
Home wrecker.
All right. So dumb it down for me. Aaron Donald is the best defensive tackle in the National Football League.
Dumb it down for me some more. Why wouldn't you take one or two guys and try and make them threes? I mean, what would be the point of keeping them home? And it's like, yeah, just hold the line. We don't want anybody shooting the gap and getting after the quarterback.
Because they both can do it. They both can play one. See, so you could shade it one way or another. You'll kick it to the strength. So one guy will play the three. The other guy will shade down to the one. And at the snap, you could flex him out to the two on the backside. Now you got linebackers that can run. You got a safety you just franchised, and you got two cover corners that you're going to lock. You're going to play man to man and turn these two nut job whack nuts loose in the middle. Okay, it's like having two Tasmanian devils that just broke into your house and locked the doors, and they said, "Now you just can't leave." Okay, that's what that is.
You just can't leave.
Yeah, and you with your bare hands has to find a way to stop them. Now you just can't leave. That's what you got on your hands. And now you got Son of Bum coaching them, who I think is one of the best defensive coordinators in the game. Wade Phillips now is licking his chops. Think we're going to go kill people. Poor Jimmy Garoppolo. First thing I
thought. Oh, Jesus.
Like, that means those two guys at the snap, if you don't hit your back foot and throw it, you got one guy wanting to break your leg, the other one wanting to rip your head off and shove it up your rear.
Right.
So, I mean, that messes with your mind.
Once one guy gets you down, the other guy is going to stomp on your arm.
And they're dirty.
Yeah.
They're dirty. They're not like, hey, I'm going to hit you and help you up. I really appreciate the way you throw the ball. Good luck next week. No, I'm here to kill you. Like, that resonates as being
the rabid Tasmanian devils.
You literally feel hunted.
Donald could play anywhere on the line. Yeah, anywhere. He's one, two, or three. Spot. Yeah. He could play anywhere
you
want.
That's the beauty of it.
He's so freakishly good.
See, I keep Sue as a three.
He is what Sue used to be.
Yes.
Sue is not, you know, Donald has replaced Sue as the
Sue was more of a nose in Detroit when he first
reckless
started.
Reckless players in the league. Now, I don't know that Aaron Donald has any hint of being a dirty player the way Sue does, but having both of these guys, I don't care that Sue is now in his 30s. That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be scary for those Rams. And they've got a very aggressive defensive coordinator in Wade Phillips. And they went out and added Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib, and then went out and got Ndamukong Suh. They're making a push. They were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. And you got rid of a guy you really didn't want to pay a ton of money because he was kind of the fourth option in Sammy Watkins, and you let a team like Kansas City go and just break the bank for him. they made smart decisions getting away from certain players. And you got a coach, it seems like he's got a good head on his shoulder, and it resonates with the young quarterback in his second year. It should be better in his third. Goff played night and day better than he did in year one. Obviously, we thought he was a bust after year one. He played well enough to take them into the playoffs and win the division. That was a pretty good year for him. He had a really good year. I expect him to be better with this coach, McVay. It's going to be interesting to see McVay with Sue, though. Sue kind of does what he wants. Yeah. I guess you can when you're like that and you play that way and you have that motor. He's the biggest man I've ever seen. Like, I'm just glad he's in the NFC. Now, I was worried about him going to the Jets. Jets were in on him. Jets are going to have, you know, supposedly break the bank and offer Sue. Now, you know, you've had success and you've beaten him over the years, but he has the ability to hurt you. Not stop you, hurt you.
Rams went 11-5 last year.
Probably go 10-6, 11-5 again.
Going all the way back to 1990, 23 teams were able to do what the Rams did last year, which was an improvement by 7 or more wins.
You still have Todd Gurley.
Okay, I mean, that doesn't happen. That's rare. That doesn't happen a lot.
No.
That's a lot of football seasons with a lot of teams playing to have an improvement like that. Only one team since then improved by 7 or more wins and then improved again and had an even better record the following year.
Oh, shoot. Sorry.
Sorry.
The 1998 New York Jets, coached by Parcells.
Bill Parcells.
It's the only team to ever improve by that much and then
he
do
had
it
his
again.
Guys, too.
Can the Rams win more than 11 games now?
See, that's tough because other teams adjust too. Now you got to deal with Garoppolo twice a year. Seattle should be better. They got to reload a little bit. Arizona's not bad. Not great, but they're not bad. See, the fact you won now, you're going to have a more difficult schedule.
You got to be the same. You got to get to 11-5 again.
Yeah, it's pressure.
Arizona's terrible. Sam Bradford and Steve Wilkes.
I know they're terrible, but they have. They have
72-year-old Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Chandler Jones and his 85 sacks he had last year.
A terrish
two cover corners. They have pieces, Jim. Hasn't come together for them, but they're a little talented.
So now they're reportedly in on Odell Beckham Jr. I think they should be careful. Because as much as they are excited about going 11-5 and making the playoffs and having Sean McVay as a young, smart, genius head coach that he is.
Yeah.
That situation becomes harder to manage. One, when there's expectations. Because now there are expectations. You must win 11 games again. And not only that, you've added Aqib Talib, who brings all kinds of crazy.
Crazy.
You've added Marcus Peters, who, according to all reports, is a jerk.
Yeah, he's supposedly he's a bat bleep crazy.
You've added Ndamukong Suh, who's known as a dirty player on the field. I don't know how much of a problem he is in the locker room. I don't know that that's ever... Has that ever been a thing?
I've never heard that.
Yeah, I've never heard that
never
either.
Never heard that either, so let's be fair to him.
But, listen, there's...
You know what? I'll settle up with him on my team.
Yeah, another big star there. Yeah, well, you got to manage another big star and a big personality.
I wouldn't be offended if the Patriots are interested in Sue.
And now, okay. And now you might want to throw Odell Beckham Jr. into that fire?
See, I think that's the problem.
I just think you got to be careful here. You're managing a team that now has expectations.
Here's what I'd love to see. Here's what I'd love to see covering that team. Dog days of summer, hot. You know, you're doing one-on-one drills, and it's man-to-man, and Aqib Talib just basically handed your ass in 7 straight pass routes you ran. How's OBJ going to react? How's Aqib going to react? I can see a nice little fight between those two breaking out.
Oh, I could see it.
Oh, yeah.
I want them to
love it.
I know you can't have them on Hard Knocks, but boy, would I love that. I'd love to see that show. Today's takeaways are coming your way next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right. Time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life. Go check it all out at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. Got to thank Kings for bringing in some lunch today.
Sure do.
Kings
Seaport.
Chicken.
Great spot to be watching the Final Four this coming weekend. State-of-the-art game day bar. You know what they call that? I love this. The draft room.
The draft room.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's the draft room. Kings Seaport, 3 stadium quality 12-foot LED screens.
Wow!
Tons of HD TVs, 40 beers on tap, more than 40 beers on tap. That's where you want to watch the game. Final Four coming up Saturday. Put that on the list of places you need to be.
Plus, you got baseball season coming up here, and check out all the games down there. Kings. All right. Takeaways. Good Doors discussion today, because I used to be a big Munsters fan. Adam's Family, you get the organ cranking. So somebody was brilliant. You know, one of those music people that said, boy, let's incorporate the Munsters organ into some rock and roll, and we could become the Doors. Here's Hardy and Dan Shaughnessy on the Doors.
There's a lot of controversy about the Doors, the quality of the Doors.
I never got into them either because it reminds me of the Munsters.
Hardy like hates the Doors, too.
A lot of dye-in-the-wool rockologists, they frown on the Doors.
Not an organ guy.
Ray Manzarek. Did you know Mr. Mojo Rison was an anagram for Jim Morrison?
Jim Morrison, yeah. He's very clever.
I like my anagrams. He did have a lot of voice for a guy who didn't live past 27. There was a lot of voice.
Really good stuff.
I don't see a lot of 26-year-olds with a voice like that.
No, yeah, he had a very mature voice.
He really did. Doesn't sound like a 26-year-old guy.
Mm.
Okay, well,
yeah,
yeah. Let's move on. Dan, what does a 26-year-old guy sound like?
No, he. I know what Dan was saying. He sounded older.
Yeah, he did.
He did. But
get the mojo rising.
This is the end. We spent some time today talking about Harvard's
Harvard
song.
Yeah, their fight song.
Harvard.
Their fight song.
It came up because we were talking about how wordy John Farrell is, and he said, well, it's like Harvard's fight song.
But I think, and what we ended up referencing, I believe, is a parody of the fight song, even though it was written a long, long time ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, here it is. Here's Hardy doing that.
By the way, the lyrics for the Harvard fight song are, Dan is absolutely right in the first two lines, but it gets so much worse after that.
Well, what is it?
Or better.
Give it.
Fight fiercely, Harvard. Demonstrate to them our skill. Albeit they possess the might, nonetheless, we have the will. How shall we celebrate our victory? We shall invite the whole team up for tea.
What?
Hurl that spheroid down the field and fight, fight, fight. That doesn't even rhyme.
On to victory.
Fight fiercely, Harvard. Impress them with our prowess. Do. Oh, fellows, do not let the crimson down. Be of stout heart and true. Come on, chaps. Fight for Harvard's glorious name. Won't it be peachy if we win the game?
That feels real. That doesn't feel like a parody.
I can't figure it out. Tom Lehrer was a singer and a songwriter, and he did a lot of like parodies and stuff in the 50s and 60s, and I think that's when he wrote that parody of the Harvard fight song, because the real Harvard fight song has got to be, what, 150 years old?
Yeah.
Something crazy like that?
I don't know. Did they have fight songs then, or did they appear later on?
I don't know. Did they care about winning like sports? Like,
yeah, they used to be. There was only a handful of schools. So, yeah.
Yeah, they play Yale like 14 times a year.
Right. My takeaway today, there was an accident in the studio, a horrific accident.
This one hurt.
And I feel bad for, I don't remember if we laughed about it at the time. We'll listen back to it now. But Scott Zolak was hurt at work today.
That Johnny Miller question about, do you think you're managing for your job? That was opening day in 2016.
Oh, my God.
They had finished in last place in 14 and 15. And so, yeah, that was a legitimate question. And John,
please tell me we have that on video. Hold on, Dan.
I know.
Were you guys rolling?
Something just happened here with the sound.
Damn it.
Yeah.
We've got some cameras in here today to tape a little something. And so, what did you do? You hit your hand on the desk?
Yeah, it just keeps getting better.
Explain again what you did.
My foot got locked on the bottom of these chairs, which are also very small for little people. And I proceeded to pinch my index finger between the desk.
His own knee and the desk.
In my right knee, and I cannot pull it out. And it is sore as hell. What's the name of that workman's comp lawyer you did the ad for? Because I got hurt at work.
Now, were you physically hurt or you were hurt by his words?
I
was hurt by his words.
This is an unnaturally low table. Just saying. I mean, he wants to sit on one side. Fred wants to sit on the other side.
Just relax. You're always bopping around.
I request. I don't care where I sit. Just raise the table 2 inches.
It's like I'm talking to Calvin. Just sit still.
We had an engineering team in here today checking out.
Yep. I told him too.
what we had going on in the studio.
Ask Felger if it's true what you told me about him.
Yeah, he gets
in the
his
new
own
studio.
Seat.
You get your own chair in the new studio, Felger?
You. No, 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 no. I don't get my own seat.
There's two A chairs and a Fred chair.
There's a Fred chair and a Felger chair.
No. Fred's being a real dick about this, okay? There's two A chairs. There's two
A chairs, Felger is saying.
Yeah, one A chair facing that way and there's one A chair facing that way.
And you don't care who sits in
your... You're doing your show there and I can...
Felger, do you care who sits in your chair when you're not there?
No.
Okay. See, that is...
Oh, there we go.
The narrative has changed
Jim
drastically.
Jim just told me in my ear. Rich Schertenlieb sits in my chair in the morning, so it's not like I can come in. So I don't...
No. But what I'm trying to say is that there's going to be two locations. There's two A chairs. So you do... There's going to be two booths. So you're going to be...
But the only person who will use your chair is you.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
I'm just happy.
He's not like Fred. He's not... Fred will...
I mean...